Well, we're all here then. Let's go ahead and call the meeting to order for the Johnson County Hospital District meeting of October 26th. We entertain a motion to approve the minutes of our previous meeting for September 28th.
I move we approve them.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Those in favor say aye.
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 Minutes are approved. Thank you. I see the chief of staff is in uniform, and we'll let him get right on it and back to work.
I think things are good at the hospital. Clinic numbers have been good. I know we're working on continue to improve accessibility for patients, including different times throughout the day. The women's night out this month was a big success. Nursing home is continuing to face a lot of staffing issues. It's operating at a reduced number of CNAs, which is just honestly difficult to recruit at this point. Inpatient numbers have been good. We're busy. We recently noticed a big increase in the amount of COVID cases. So that's really probably the biggest news from a medical perspective is just recently the fairly rapid increase of COVID infections, not only that we're seeing here in the hospital, but also at a local assisted living as well as the vet's home. So quite a few cases. So that's been keeping us all fairly busy. I think overall things are good. We're looking forward to being done with construction and having some new facility to work with, but that's a ways off. But I think overall things are going great other than dealing with the COVID.
What would you say about the med staff comp model changes, and they've been pretty well ironed out and going smoothly?
You know, it's been a learning process. We've been through quite a few changes as a medical staff in the last 4 or 5 years. And so, but I think overall this has been a good change. And I think administration's been successful and it's been working with medical staff and addressing concerns, and my general sense is most people are happy with the changes so far and are satisfied with it. There's still things that need to be ironed out, but it's one of those things that just takes some time to get through. But overall, that's good. I think a positive thing.
Any other questions for Dr. Ludwig, Chief of Staff? All right, thank you. Well, Mary, floor is yours.
I don't think I have a whole lot to add. We have been busy, and construction has given us about 10 rooms, and we've been just about at capacity of occupying those with single patient occupancy. We haven't had to doubled up once or twice with some COVID patients that we thought we could do that. But we're making it through this construction and COVID. May get better or worse before it gets better. The COVID anyway, unfortunately. And staffing's, we were great, and now we're back to mediocre, but we'll see a light at the end of that tunnel.
Is it because people are ill, or?
No, I actually have lost 4 nurses to various different things. One to another hospital, and one to school, and 2 to different departments in the hospital.
That sounds challenging.
Mm-hmm. But we'll make it. We'll make it. We're not going to use travelers yet.
Mary's been known to pick up extra shifts.
to do it for a while, so I'm ready, rested.
That can be hard.
I have a new nurse coming down the pike in December, though. A new old nurse. Marcy's coming back to work a little bit, so. Marcy Schuler.
Yeah, I would put her to work as much as possible. Any questions for Mary?
Maybe just a comment. I mean, both of you mentioned the construction, and I mean, can you elaborate on that? I mean, it sounds like you're working around it and so forth, but is it manageable, or is it really?
It's manageable. Construction took out a lot of our good rooms, unfortunately, and I mean the one side of the whole hall, so it tightens things up a little bit. But we're managing. I mean, we will manage, and it's going to be so phenomenal when we're done that we'll forget how it even was.
Well, and I'm assuming that the general and the contractors are, I guess, working with y'all.
Yes, they're very good. Like, for instance, there was some construction down the OB hall, and we had an OB come in and labor, and they halted construction while we did that. So that was awesome. They're very good at that. They're very easy to work with, super nice, and just we've been very happy with them. Matter of fact, today during our meeting, I asked them to stop using the, what'd you call it? Whacker hammer?
Jackhammer.
Well,
Whacker pecker?
Whacker pecker. And while we were watching a video, and they stopped for us for 5 minutes. And I mean, they're super easy.
They built an entire wall down the main hallway to isolate construction. And it seems like they've really gone out of their way to not be in our way.
Mm-hmm. It's just disruptive. I think no matter what they do, it's going to be disruptive because, you know, we're remodeled. You know, it was, even when we hadn't entered the building, they still kind of, they blocked the windows in our nicest rooms. And then, you know, now they've, from the last time, I think 2 or 3 months ago, we went and did a tour of the facility. And, you know, all those, like, it's completely different back there now from when we were there, because they've tore out all the old patient rooms that were there and some of the support areas. And so, I mean, we lost storage and had to kind of reroute things. And Mary's team's done a great job of being adaptive to it, but it's disruptive, and we kind of knew it would be disruptive going into it, but it'll be worth it in the end. But the only way to avoid the disruption is to build a whole new hospital, which is pretty cost prohibitive. So
I assume that this nice weather, this extended kind of fall that we've been having, has benefited them.
Yeah, I think definitely. So
any other questions or comments for head of nursing? Lori?
I don't have anything to add.
That's what we like to hear. Miranda, what about you?
I just kind of wanted to explain my report a little bit. So we had talked a little bit last time about like the decreased numbers in the clinic.
Yeah.
And kind of reviewing those the last several months, yes, part due to our reduced staff, medical staff in the clinic, but also what's included in those numbers are our visiting specialist numbers are included in those. So I also added that to the report. Even though our total volume of patients seen in the clinic is down, our direct patient contact that we are seeing with our providers is up. So visiting specialists drive those numbers as well. So we haven't had as many visiting specialists over the summer as patient numbers in comparison to last summer. So I think that partly affects those numbers too. With the COVID spikes at both Willow Creek and the Vets Home, all of our providers have been extremely accommodating with both of those entities and have gone over and seen patients at both places. And we have a lot of providers stepping up and offering to go see patients up there instead of them coming to us. Willow Creek didn't have the ability to bring patients to us, so we had our number one go over there and see all of them. And this week's been pretty tough for the Vets Home staffing-wise to bring patients to us, so our providers have been going up there and offering services up there. So each day we've kind of been chatting with what their needs are, and our providers have really stepped up and have been awesome to accommodate what they need up there. So,
I was impressed with her performance that evening. And two of those people ended up getting admitted to the hospital, which she also did at 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Any questions or comments from Miranda? Thank you. I don't know if this falls under leadership, but there was a... Maybe you want to talk about our meeting at the VA when you did your presentation. Was that on your...
I think we talked about... Was that right before last month? I feel like I talked about going. We were going to go there. So, yeah, I can give an update on that.
Sure. I
can cheer up. Okay. Well, I'll start with that. Otherwise, I'll get through my halfway through my list and forget about it. So we had a pretty big crew that went up and met with the VA facility up in Sheridan. We've had a couple patient encounters where it's been a struggle to really get good communication back, whether it's provider to provider, or getting medical records to help assist, especially with the psych patients that are seen up at the VA facility up in Sheridan. And so I think we brought about 8, and it was the response wasn't quite equal to who we met with up there, but I think we had some really good conversations. Part of, you know, communication is just understanding what issues they're facing in their facility, and I'm pretty sure the numbers, they have about 200 beds and they're currently staffing just over 20. So they're down about 90%. Someone had told me that they thought they lost about 60 nurses with the vaccine mandate, the COVID vaccine mandate, and are really struggling to kind of get their staffing back up and in line. And so, you know, that's definitely helpful. I think there's also been a little bit of misunderstanding from our part. They have a position called the administrator on call, which I think we took as an assumption that it was, you know, one of their, you know, senior leaders or something like that that was on call, and found out it's actually just an operator. And so we're kind of getting roadblocked with some of that communication. And so, you know, meeting with some of their directors and providers kind of helped us maybe navigate the best way for us to have those communications in the future, and hopefully that's helpful. But it also kind of shines to light that we're not going to have a whole lot of opportunity of getting patients admitted up there, and just kind of knowing it's going to be a kind of a long road for them to recover, just from a staffing standpoint. So I think all of us left with a kind of a sigh of relief for what our staffing woes are here, and just how much worse other places have it kind of around the, well, I mean, just next door, really, up in Sheridan. So unless you have anything additional to add from your standpoint, Dr. Schiffman.
No, I think you summed it up. We did make a little bit of traction with a commitment to be able to speak with a psychiatrist on call for acute mental health problems when they're not able to take that patient, which is going to be very likely.
But Jody never got anything from them, and I think it was going to be directed to Jody. Am I wrong?
She just told
me the other day, she said, oh, I just remembered I never got that. And I'm not sure that she's followed up since, and I forgot to ask her because she texted me that. But they never did follow up. So I'll make sure that she followed up with them.
Let me know if she doesn't, because I actually just met the administrator of their whole facility at the grand opening last week. And so I'm happy to make a phone call and see if we can push that needle a little bit.
Yeah, they acted like they're
going to get
right on that, have her email, but...
Yeah.
Brenda did not know the meeting was at 5:30, so I think she's
coming over.
Okay. We'll still be here.
Yeah.
Dale Hall, our new HR manager, he's on his third week right now, and has been a huge breath of fresh air, I think, all across the building. And just his composure and the experience he brings to just different situations. We have a lot of managers that were kind of working through some difficult things, and he's jumped right in and provided a lot of wisdom and assistance to them. And so I'm super excited. I think he was worth the wait, and I think everybody from that's kind of encountered him would kind of agree to that. So In saying that, we still have, you know, a couple open positions. Erica, our OR, Wallover, our OR manager, resigned just due to the call volume. Her husband travels for work and just couldn't handle that with her young family. And so we had one interview today for replacement. We have two tomorrow and are pretty hopeful that we'll find a replacement there. But it's always hard to lose good staff. She's going to work at public health in their maternal nurse position. And so, you know, I think that'll be kind of a great segue for us to really build a strong relationship there. She knows all of our, you know, providers and nursing staff in the clinic. And I think hopefully that communication there helps grow and we can kind of help support some of those patients in a higher capacity, just knowing each other better. And we're still looking for a lab manager and are working right now with a staffing agency and an interim staffing agency for lab. You know, we kind of hope we didn't have to go this route, but it's taking a long time. We're going to lose Andrew at the end of November. He has a girlfriend over in France and decided he wants to spend time with her. And so we've been searching for positions for a couple of months now since Marie left and just haven't had any real bites from qualified applicants. So from a grant standpoint, last month we talked about receiving one grant, but the ARPA grants are the big ones that we kind of had. I feel like we've been talking about those for close to a year now. They did set dates for reviewing those, and so they're November 3rd and 4th, and then potentially the afternoon of November 16th if they still need to. We did on Sunday receive a couple of follow-up questions on grants, and it's interesting because some of the questions is stuff that were in the grant, so I don't know if what the deal is. We'll resubmit those pieces and probably will provide a little bit more clarity. Some of the grant language didn't, or the grant form didn't have all of the information requested that's in their scoring, so I'm going to do an additional sheet trying to help boost some of the scoring, because like I've said, we score super high in the grant. I want to make sure we're getting credit for those pieces as well. And then I reached out this week, Department of Health. We just haven't heard anything back on when they're planning on making a determination, but for those, the two grants that they put out that we submitted on, they had over 100 applicants, so it takes time to dig through all those pieces and do scoring and all those different pieces. We've had a lot of discussion on construction, but I think for the most part, things really are going well. We kind of hit our first snag with some of the drain, how the bathroom floors in the hospital space were going to drain, and you know, the floors that were selected. So we were going to do a sheet vinyl in the bathroom floors, and that's been changed to moving to tile to be able to kind of slope those floors and make sure that we don't have any water issues moving forward. And so that'll be the first change order. And Odell Construction was kind of great at, you know, owning that and taking that through their change order process. But I think we've sent a lot of money out so far, and the fact that that's kind of the first thing that's snagged up, I think, is a pretty good sign, and I think things are moving in a good direction. We're also seeing just a bunch of progress, like on a daily basis. We have people running all over the place with getting the, you know, the clinic started and starting with the foundation of the new therapy addition, and it's kind of an ongoing process, but it's getting exciting. And almost every day you walk back there, there's new progress being made. So they've also started, you know, we talked about the inpatient disruption, but they've started kind of getting back into other parts of the building. There's that activities of daily living space that is kind of a carve out that they were doing in phase one. And so there's been a lot of disruption as they've demoed. I think there was like four or five rooms back there, and all the walls interior got demoed out, and they're cutting concrete and running plumbing lines and all sorts of stuff. So it's definitely been super noisy. Concrete saws are not quiet, no matter what you do to them. So, and then the new nursery, where we used to have soiled and clean rooms, and then also a provider office. All those walls got demoed, and I think they're going to even get that sheetrock next week is the game plan. So starting to really kind of see things that were torn out getting put back together, and just makes those pieces more exciting to see that come along. We have done 2 days of dementia training. We just had a couple incidents where we thought it'd be a great addition to our staff to really bring somebody here. It's hard to send enough people to training, and I've just heard amazing reviews from the lady who came and did it and from the people who have attended the training. We opened it up to some community members, and I don't know how many of them came and participated, but I think we maxed it at 40, and I had I think full rooms for both sessions that happened today, and we had really full room when I came and saw her when she was here the first time she was here. So I think that's going to be great. We have, you know, that patient volume seems to continue to increase. We're really in an aging community and continue seeing more of that. And as we transition patients back and forth, trying to do nursing home placements and do different things, I think it's great for our staff kind of through the facility to get that training. And so, you know, from dietary to housekeeping, you know, all these people interact with dementia patients. And so really kind of had a concerted effort to get as many people through that as we possibly could. We're currently working on the community health needs assessment. And so next month we'll bring that report to you guys for you guys to do an approval on that. This will be their, I think, third or fourth. I don't know if you know off the top of your head, Lori.
At least fourth.
Yeah, that we've had to do. It's really highlighted mental health and aging, which is something that I think is, you know, it's a huge need kind of across the country right now. And so working on that. Ashley Hughes has been running that, our marketing manager, and has done a great job with. We had 144 responses. I think we had under 50 when we did it last time. And so trying to get some increased feedback and pulling, you know, community members together to take a look at that. So it's been a good project, and kind of excited to share more of the results with you guys next week. The retirement plan design, I think we got some of that stuff wrapped up last month. We're going to be rolling out more education over the next month for employees with the plan of starting participants on those contributions the middle of December. And so, you know, I think the plan right now is, we're still trying to fine tune some of the dates and getting stuff out, but we're gonna be looking at a 1% across the board for everybody, kind of matching a little bit what we've done, and then do matching up to an additional 3%, which is kind of what we had budgeted for historically. And then the vesting schedule is going to be a 6-year vesting where there's zero vesting the first 12 months and then a 20% vesting over the next 5. So the goal was to, you know, kind of help people, catch people early on, and then incentivize people to stay with the retirement benefit. And I'm excited. One America has been a great vendor in working with Colorado Hospital Association, and that plan design has been super helpful. And so I'm excited to kind of roll this out and see, you know, kind of the tools that they really bring to the table with patient or employee education and stuff like that here in the next month. So our health insurance renewal came back. Although they are kind of looking at a 10% kind of jump, it's not across the board necessarily. Healthcare, and I mean, we kind of saw that when we did the budget. Healthcare is kind of being forecasted right now as a 10% return. Our hard costs for plan administration and stuff stayed flat for the year. And so I think the renewal numbers were really good. And so I don't think we really need a whole lot for plan change at this point in time. And just as a reminder, we used to have a May 1 renewal. And so part of the design with adding HSA and some other tax advantage options for employees was to move us to a January 1 renewal, and so we'll be doing kind of open enrollment and renewal for health insurance here over the next month. So, and then Zach Carlson and Dr. Carlson signed his agreement with us last Thursday. So really excited. He's going to be starting with us October 1st of 23, and he's the one that's in a sports fellowship out in Spokane, Washington. And so, you know, him and his wife are just super nice. I think they even brought us food when they came and signed the contract and stopped by here last week. And, you know, so really excited to get them. They're both super excited to come and be here. And I think Chrissy showed him a property, and they're pretty excited about that. One of the things we have talked through with him is, you know, offering that signing bonus as he gets closer to, like, actually paying out a signing bonus as they get closer. They've asked that we look at if they actually look at purchasing either a property or a home, that we look at maybe extending that out to them sooner. I think that kind of ensures that they're coming here if they're using that to buy a property. And so I think that's probably something we'll look at, unless any of you guys are opposed to that being the case. But I think, yeah, he spent a month with us. Is it a month? He was here a year. And,
3 weeks.
And so the staff got to have a really good feel for him. And I don't know if you worked with him at all, Dr. Ludwig, but yeah. So I think he'll be a really great addition. The Veterans Home had their grand opening for their new cottages last week, and so there was actually quite a few staff members. Brenda and I went up, and there were some other staff members up there. And they're beautiful buildings. We walked through two of the cottages, and they look amazing. And I don't know any news on when they're actually planning and opening up to be able to take residents and what that part's going to look like, but we'll kind of keep you guys in the loop. Talked to Bruce a little bit. It sounds like they're having a little bit of issue with staffing and just trying to recruit people. And he made a comment to us that he's doing the best he can to not steal and poach staff from us. And so we'll just kind of keep you guys in the loop as we know more.
It was in the paper today that they need to hire 25 people.
Okay. Yeah, so a long ways to go. That's a lot of staff. So. The CDC made a change for masking, and so they're going off of community transmission. And so I think we had 1 week in the month of October where actually we're able to pull masks down. And I think Brenda kind of talked about that in hers. They went over 900 days without residents being able to see their face. And but, you know, it's so we'll see. We went 1 week and then went back to a high transmission status and had to put masks back on. And I know it's been a tough transition. People have been talking about that, and, but at least there's maybe a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Although I don't think there's any real correlation to this uptick in COVID, you know, in relation to that. But you know, it's something we'll just continue to monitor, and hopefully we'll have more weeks without masks on where we can actually see people's faces and have better interactions with patients moving forward. And we also had a really successful ladies' night out. I wasn't able to attend as I had to go to a funeral that week, but I heard a lot of great feedback from both the staff and people who came and participated in that. And it seems like it was back to normal. It's kind of the feedback I got. I don't know if you were able to be reminded or not.
It was a great turnout. This is actually the highest number of people
not sure you're really invited to that, Luke.
Yeah, I thought I'd come. Well, I mean, not to participate, but come to support. So. Yeah. And that's all I have. A couple other items later, but that's all.
Any questions for our CEO?
Well, just out of curiosity, did Odell get the, did we get that retainage account set up?
No. I'm actually still waiting on that. I pushed out what the bank needs and they are still trying to get stuff to me. They have a scanner issue was the last I heard, so I don't have anything.
I mean, I was just curious if it was set up and if you've had to do anything with it and how it was working. So I guess
no, it's quiet right now.
And on the retirement, I was just curious, like you mentioned the vesting thing. What about existing employees who've been here a long time? Are they automatically 100% vested?
Yep. Yeah. We're not gonna make Lori go work another 6 years.
Yeah. You're gonna be right behind me then.
That's all I know.
Yeah.
Well, Brenda, I apologize for changing the meeting time, but we're still willing to have a leadership report from any home.
Nothing's really changed since last week, so carry on.
Any questions for Brenda? All right, then. We do have a credentialing report that was included in the packets. And not clear there were any issues regarding that. Did you have any concerns, Dr. Ledwith?
We don't see like this number 8, medical staff not requesting reappointment or resigning. It seems like there's generally not anything down there.
I had a lot this month.
Are there any problems there or something?
No. The CRNA is no longer doing locums work, so she just resigned her privileges. Actually, since I sent that out, Dr. Miller has reached out to me. Somewhere in the process, he lost track of his reappointment papers, so he's working on getting that back to me. So he will end up further up the list. And then the other two are just not interested in reappointing, so they just resigned the privileges.
No, I don't think we've even done any work with them mm-hmm. since appointing them to the medical staff, so I don't think it's an issue.
Are they based out of Billings?
Yes.
Well, we would entertain a motion to approve the credentialing.
So moved.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed? Those are approved.
I found one more thing on my list that requires a little bit of discussion. Hospital back in 1972 did a deed transfer to Northern Hills Mental Health, and I've talked back and forth with Bridget with the law firm that represents us about kind of what the deal. It sounds like the title stuff has been pretty messy. There's been stuff kind of was entered into multiple times. I think there's been 3 different kind of agreements and things like that. And the reason this kind of all got brought to light in the last week is with VOA taking over from Northern Hills, they're looking at doing a consent to transfer. And one of the things that I think is worth us trying to push for is the original agreement back in 72 had a 99-year provision where the deed would transfer back to the hospital, and I think that's something, you know, it's right on the middle of our campus, and I think that's something that we should try to, you know, make sure is kind of in that new consent to transfer. And so we've had kind of a lot of discussion on that. Part of it is, and kind of what I'd like a little bit of feedback from the board is kind of how much we should push to try to keep that in and what that's going to look like. I think from a first stab, it's something that we can go out and pursue that with them and see if they're, you know, resistance to it or what that's going to be. Bridget and I talked through several different options at the meeting, or when we had a meeting yesterday. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, some of those options could get pretty expensive. I don't think the goal right now is to kick them out of the building or anything like that. We need to definitely make that clear. But I think if we have an option of trying to maintain that that deed transferred back to the hospital, that we should kind of make a push for that. So, unless anybody has any opposition to that being the case.
It wasn't clear whether we would automatically honor the 99-year lease or the VOA wants us to change those terms.
Yeah, I think when Bridget sent me an email yesterday morning and said, don't sign it, I think they have some issues. And I think there's definitely some language stuff that lacks clarity. I think if nothing else, it's a great way of trying to kind of get this document right to really kind of clarify the intent of that property and what that piece looks like moving forward. So there's definitely a lot of covenants in the original agreement where if they don't provide mental health services for 60 days or different things like that, where it deeds back to us. But the 99-year piece is the one that actually has any deadline. Otherwise, as long as they provide mental health services, we'd be able to maintain that property forever. So I think it's worth us trying to push and using this time to get some of this cleaned up. Outside of that, it's kind of hard to really have a grounds to kind of pursue anything moving forward. So
the lease is now half over.
Yeah.
None of us were here in 1972 to remember what the intent was or how it was presented. Mm-hmm.
Did they pay for that? Or did they just
I don't know. That part I don't know.
So Northern Wyoming Mental Health actually owns it. It's deeded over to them at this point. But there's deed restriction that at the end of 99 years, it just reverts back to the hospital.
Yeah, but with the... There's, and that's where it's a little bit muddy as they've kind of, dug through. At one point they did give it back to the hospital, like in 92, and then in 96, I think we gave it back again. And there's kind of like been all these different like pieces that have kind of been, And so, Bridget's kind of question to me was, they don't want to charge us for all these billable hours if that's not our intent of kind of pursuing and getting this stuff cleaned up. And so I told her, yesterday afternoon that we had a meeting tonight and I kind of run that by you, but I think it's worth our time to kind of put those things in place. And if we have that option to get that back in there or, ensure that piece is done. So
I don't think we'll be using that property in 20 years, but 49 years.
I think we could maybe use it for parking before 20 years. Parking is pretty tight. If you ask the homeowners across the street, they would probably be excited if we would add some parking to the facilities.
Well, and if they were to find a new facility in a new location, then I think you'd want something that automatically deeded that back to the hospital.
And that happens already, like in what they sent us, it has those provisions still in there, but I don't think it had anything on the 99-year piece. And so, just
this makes me think that they didn't pay anything for it and were given it because, and so then they agreed to these covenants. And so, there's probably something in there to the effect of they also can't sell it, or if they do sell it to somebody, then we have right of first refusal or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
I bet that's in there.
We tried to talk them out of that building about three times because we wanted to put something else there. But
yeah. I mean, I think the way it's structured right now to get them out, we'd almost have to buy them a different building to move them out, And they have a pretty sweet deal. I mean, they got, so especially when you look at what stuff costs now. So.
Yeah, I pushed back.
Sounds good. I assume that would probably be the intent.
It'll be interesting to see what VOA does,
Yeah, if nothing else, if we can get some of those terms more clearly stated, that would be good.
Well, there's likely going to be some increased service available. I've been optimistic so far with what's taking place. And I think staffing in this part of the region is improving. Well, it's time for the financial performance.
I can't get this to adjust right. This is a little sensitive tonight. Okay, we're just going to go with it. For September, our gross patient revenue came in at $2.7 million. Deductions were at $955,000. Our expenses came in just under budget by $5,000, $2.2 million. For the month of September, we did finish at a $215,000 loss. I skipped over that. Gross patient revenue is down by $269,000 from where I budgeted that one. year to date, this is not working well. Sorry. Year to date, gross patient revenue is at $8.7 million. We are $354,000 below where I anticipated being. Deductions are $145,000 over budget, and expenses are actually under budget by $213,000. That puts us at $172,000 loss for the year. Part of the revenue number is just looking roughly at where each one is at. A lot of that is the hospital side, which can be contributed to construction and patients in and out. Stats here actually look pretty good. I don't have any concerns with any of these anywhere unless something stands out to you guys.
I have a question for Mary about swing bed. Are we seeing fewer admissions from Sheridan because they have that unit open? Or has that taken place?
We're getting our patients back from Sheridan, and we never got a ton of Sheridan patients. We're still seeing a lot of direct referrals. They have 9 or 10. They have one floor of their TCU open, and it's been full since they opened it. So we did have one referral that they couldn't take. That wasn't from there either, but I don't think it's affected us.
Anything else on that one? Okay, looking at this one. Oh, that one's touch. I didn't have time to adjust this before tonight, sorry.
See,
okay.
If you had that overhead.
Yeah.
Looking at AR numbers compared to our August numbers, hospital did go down by $244,000. Clinic also went down slightly by $45,000. This is our current numbers here compared to last month, or the previous month. And then looking at cash balances as of yesterday, I did pull them yesterday. Not a lot of change on our cash balances, and we have had construction costs going up, so that's still maintaining really well. And then just looking at the income statement, not a lot on here that I had to point out. I was digging a little bit deeper into it, though, and one of the numbers that did stand out was our professional fees here. That one is the traveling CNAs in the nursing home, as well as Inspire with physical therapy and occupational therapy. Other than that, I don't have a whole lot more to point out on here, unless you have questions on this one.
When you budget inpatient revenue, you're basically using the last year's census to determine what we think this year's census will be?
Yes, for the most part. There's the price increase is what's budgeted into that, based off of where last year's numbers were at.
Right.
I think one of the things to kind of keep in mind, too, is from an inpatient standpoint, I think, I don't know if it was August, September, we had like that COVID spike, and so we had a really high census there for, you know, several weeks, high, you know, much higher than what our normal average is. And with that not being the case, that the other piece didn't necessarily translate. We've also had several like swing bids that have come over and then been so upset with the noise from the construction and have transferred out. So I think anytime, you know, we have that disruption in the building, we're going to kind of see it down, decrease in people who are here comfortably. And hopefully on the flip side, when we're done with construction, we'll see, you know, people want to come back here, you know, be comfortable and willing to stay, you know, for their whole treatment plan and things like that. So.
I did go ahead and go in on this report that I've been printing, the dashboards. One of those pages has the days check on hand. I'm going to start trying to keep track of that more, especially if we're talking about financing. We are sitting at 148 days for operating cash on hand. Aside from that, I don't have a whole lot more. I've been working with auditors for the last month and a half remotely, getting stuff pushed to them for the audit. And then this last week, I think is when it started, I did start getting requests for cost report information as well. So I've got a lot of stuff going out for cost report and audit right now.
So days cash on hand was something that influenced borrowing, and there's a red line, so to speak, where you don't want to be below 100 days.
We don't want to be above. And so Medicare, like, you know, fiduciary or whatever, it's called a MAC, they make a determination when you put the asset into service on whether or not we have excess borrowing issues. And so what we've been told is we don't want to be over 100 days, but there's not like a clear-cut number by any means there for what that, you know, what that dollar amount is, what those days actually are. So.
And is there another number where you're running out of liquidity if your cash on hand is below a certain number of days?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely metrics you want to avoid. I think the goal is for that number to be higher. So, you know, the hope is we drop it down to, you know, be able to capture that in the cost report, and then we are able to grow days cash on hand moving forward after that. But, you know, I don't think there's real risk being between 90 and 100 days is still quite a bit of cash flow. Is pretty common for that to be the case.
Okay. Any other financial questions?
I think
there's
a lot.
What's the difference between intermediate swing beds and swing bed? Skilled swing bed and intermediate swing bed.
So what?
Skilled swing bed is a Medicare funded, Medicare and Medicaid funded. Intermediate swing bed is. Like a nursing home.
They don't require any skilled service.
Yes, they don't. They can't have physical therapy or whatever qualified numbers skills. We've kind of talked quite a few more of those because they're just
maybe even nursing home placement, and it's hard to find. There's not a Harvard nursing home in the state right now that doesn't have a wing closed. Jody has a really tough time finding placement for people.
All right, I'll turn on the light. So the next item is the construction loan engagement approval.
Yeah, so first National gave me a call last week. There were some issues that were kind of flagged by First Interstate and their attorneys going through, you know, the loan documents and things like that that they figured was worth a further inquiry. And so they reached out to a lady called Barbara Bond. I think she's out of Cheyenne, who kind of specializes just in this specific law and these documents. And part of the deal with that is as a hospital district, we're not able to actually go through a normal loan document process like we had originally gone through. The documents just need to be a little bit different. And the way she kind of described it to me is what we had done was more of like a mortgage where there's like, and we're not able to do that type of a loan. So it's essentially helping us draft updated loan documents to make sure that we're following suit with all state statutes and things like that. So, and she likes to work directly with the hospital rather than contracting with the bank. So what we had done last week, I believe it was, is canceled the original loan that we had closed on a month ago with the intent of needing to pursue this direction just from a compliance standpoint. We hadn't done any draws on the construction loan or anything like that. But, I had a chance to talk to her this afternoon. It seems like it's going to be a pretty straightforward process. And I meant to print off her document. My day ran away from me. I think it was about $15,000. You remember that, Tom? for her to kind of come in and help with the documents and make sure we have everything squared away. And so, if your approval tonight will allow us to engage her and then get those documents prepared over the next month for you guys to approve at the next board meeting. So.
We don't really have a choice, do we?
He's going to say that.
No.
No, it was interesting. I mean, we learned a lot in this deal.
Yeah.
At the hospital district, because of the status, you know, as a municipality / county entity, state statute, you cannot use, which was new to me, you can't use loan docs, you know.
Yeah.
They all have to come from these experts like this. We actually reached out and got two bids. And I don't know if Travis, you know about this other entity out of Cheyenne that does same stuff Barb does, made a bid of like $43,000.
Yeah.
And so this $15,000 mark seemed pretty good to us.
Yeah.
And what she does is that I guess she'll put together a resolution that it's real specific that we have to, I guess, authorize or approve, and then they actually put together the loan docs and the participation agreements and everything along those lines. And there will also be a certification that, as part of it, that the loan itself is tax exempt.
Yep.
So,
and
that's where the sticking point came, you know, in the end. That
yeah.
All kind of came out with legal, so to speak.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and when I was in Alliance, we did some just more standard loans, but we didn't take any tax support. And I think it's the tax revenue that we receive. There's, you know, stipulations that are more scrutinized from a state standpoint, and I didn't get flagged, you know, just because I've done similar things in the past. But you know, that change was a pretty big shift, and in talking to Tom and Travis and talking to Barb, it definitely was a big learning experience. And,
yeah. Well, and I think what flagged it, because I'm right on with you. I mean, I've done these things before and never run into this, but not to this level. I think a $9 million loan starts to, I guess,
catch people's attention.
Yeah, catch people's attention. And it's like, no, we better do this by the letter of the law.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. I think I just need permission to, you know, sign that engagement letter with her to proceed and get documents drafted for next month. So. And with where our day's cash in hand is, I mean, I think we expected that to kind of decrease more than it is now. So I don't think we're necessarily in a massive rush to need the funds right now, but we'll be, we don't want to drag our feet on it either. So you'd rather have it in place and wait 2 months to draw on it than be scrambling at the end.
So a motion to approve a construction loan engagement.
Yep.
I make a motion that we approve the construction loan engagement.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Those in favor say aye.
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 And those opposed? So the next item that was added to the agenda, and it may not be on yours, is review of a contract with Real Radiology, the contractors from Sheridan who do the majority of our radiology service.
I'm not going to make you review the agreement, but I'll share the highlight with you.
Thank you.
Like we talked about with our health insurance, healthcare is seeing a kind of rise in costs, and to kind of go along with that, as providers have either left healthcare or there's been a shortage, radiologists are definitely kind of in that area. There's been a huge shortage of radiologists, and when I talked to I think it was Dr. Taylor a couple of months ago, he made a comment that he has a friend who's an administrator of a hospital, and they got a phone call that they were just cutting their Nighthawk services across the board, or just like, you know, giving their notice and saying, we just don't have the staff to support your hospital anymore. And so Real Rad came to us, I think it was maybe even the week after the board meeting, with a contract amendment increasing rates, and kind of was a take it or leave it. If you want to negotiate, kind of the thought behind it was we probably won't be a customer of theirs anymore, and we really don't have another option. So it's kind of one of those deals right now where we're a little bit vulnerable because other companies are so short-staffed. A lot of them aren't even putting proposals out for additional clientele right now, and so
this is not the shared service. This is our night, our after hours.
Our after hours coverage.
And is it no longer Nighthawk? It's Real Rad.
It's called, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's, I mean, people still interchangeably call it Nighthawk, but I think that's more of a type of service necessarily than a company brand.
Okay.
Because we've called that service Nighthawk at both of my last two facilities, and it's never actually been the company name. But.
Well, in line with the price of everything else, this doesn't seem unreasonable at all. It's a pretty vital service, especially for emergency room care.
I move we approve the increase.
I'll say it.
Moved and seconded. Those in favor say aye.
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 That motion passes. Do you have an executive session on the agenda? We'll resume in about 4 minutes. It's dark. It feels like.
Are we going to keep the meeting at 5:30 then?
I think everybody seems to be in favor of it. Anyone opposed?
Yeah, this is nice.